Our scripture is going to be this evening, Zechariah chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9. So go ahead and turn there with me if you would. And we'll get into the scripture in just a moment, but as we are finding our spots, I'll give you a little bit of an overview about what we're going to be speaking about tonight. And it's about a common phrase in our society today called hitting a wall. How many have heard that phrase? Oh, I hit the wall. We've heard it before, and we've heard it in different contexts. We've heard it as far as athletes, maybe we've heard it as far as entrepreneurs, but I'm going to give you a little bit of information on this phrase, hitting the wall. So in running and other endurance sports and cycling, there's a condition that affects many of them called hitting the wall, where it's around the 20-mile mark for most marathon runners, where they get to a point that their legs kind of feel like concrete and their breathing becomes labored, and they get to a point where the blood's not really flowing through their body as it should, and they get to a place of a time where they're so overcome with fatigue that many can't finish the race. And so their emotions and their thoughts are going through it. Think of it, you're in the middle of a run and things kind of start to fall apart. Everything kind of starts to get a little bit mixed up, and your strides turn into a shuffle. Negative thoughts kind of flood your mind, and the urge to quit becomes overwhelming. And I'm sure there's people here today that know a little bit more about physiology and human body and things like that could tell me why that happens, but 20 miles of a run, that's why it happens for me. I couldn't even make it that far. But they get to that place, and it's like they're actually running along, and they're doing great, and it's like somebody put up a giant wall in front of them. And think about how frustrating that would be. Everett and I were watching a triathlon not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, and I was watching this gentleman from Spain. They were doing a triathlon there in Hawaii, and this guy had just gone through his swim, and I don't know how far they swim, but he'd done it for a while, and then he was going through his cycling race, and he was leading the pack through the cycle race, and he'd done that for the amount of time, and he was several hours into this triathlon then, over a couple hours, and he was going through his run, and they had him run across the beach for a while, and that's got to drain your legs running through sand, and then they had them running on flat for a little while, and then they started running him up a hill, and this guy from Spain, I just saw it as he was running along, he just couldn't take another step. And he ended up collapsing there a little bit, and he got back up, and he started to walk along, and he did finish the race, I think, in fourth, but he had been the person that ran the triathlon and won it for four times in a row. And this man, even after all that endurance, even after all that conditioning, even after everything that he'd been through, hit that wall. Physically, he couldn't take another step. Physically, he couldn't get up the gumption to go even one more step down the raceway. In business, and we're going to get back to our scripture, so don't lose your place. In business, we also have a phenomenon that's like this that's common. They may not call it hitting the wall, but if you're a person that's an entrepreneur and you've started a business, you get to that place to where you've invested everything. You've probably gone into the red and you're working way more than 40 hours a week and you're going in there and you're pouring your heart and your soul into this business because you thought it was a good idea and you're at the top of the hill. And many people in business look at this and they see what if you study businesses and entrepreneurship, they get to the point where they're almost in the black, or they are in the black, and they talk about being kind of on the top of a hill where it's a snowy hill, and they can just, if they could just push this giant snowball in front of them down the hill, it would build momentum, and their business would grow, and their profits would grow, and things would be easier. And they recognize this phenomenon because they get to the top of the hill where they're in the black and they're working, but it seems like their hands are tied behind their back. And they go to work every day, and they put in the hours, and they put in the money, and they just can't seem to push that snowball over the edge of the hill. And this is their wall. It's like there's a giant wall that's sitting there. And at this point, they can get so close that they can taste it, but the frustration starts to take hold. And then one day, it suddenly is really difficult to make yourself get up and go to work. And I suddenly start to question about the business idea that you had and whether it was a good idea. And you start to think to yourself, yeah, this was a good idea, but maybe somebody else with more business management experience, or somebody else that has better contacts, or somebody else that's more intelligent than I am, or somebody else that could do X, Y, and Z that I can't do. If they had this business, they can succeed, but possibly it's not for me. They've hit this wall. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about today. You know, there's a wall that many of us hit. It's not just in business. It's not just in sports. As you can see from these two examples, and I hope you understand, the wall is something that happens to all of us at some point in time. You can hit a wall on your job, you can hit a wall on your education, you can hit a wall in your marriage, you can hit a wall in your finances, raising your kids, your health, any number of things. You can get to that point when you're going through and you just say, I can't take another step because you hit the wall. And in reality, it can happen to us as Christians too. And that's what I want to talk to you about this evening. It can happen to you in your Christian walk where you get to a point and you've been serving faithfully and you're tithing and you're praying and you're coming to the church services and you're doing all the things that God said to do, but this obstacle before you is just too big a wall. So what do we do about it? And people may not talk about it as hitting a wall, but I'm sure you've heard people say things like this: I'm going through a spiritual dry spell. I've heard that. You know, I just don't feel like a Christian today. I just don't feel like I want to pray today. I'm going through a spiritual dry spell. I feel stuck in my Christian life. I don't know what to do next. I don't know where God is leading me. I'm just kind of listless. I don't know where I'm going. You've hit a wall in your Christian life. And for some reason unknown to you, some reason unknown to I or other Christians, life gets hard. Christian life gets hard. And everybody in this room is going to get to that point. Man, woman, boy, or girl, we're going to get to a point in our Christian life where something's going to come before us, and it's not going to be roses and sunshine anymore. It's going to be hard. And that's your wall. But you know what? God doesn't want us to be stuck on this side of the wall. Because God knows what's over there. He knows what's on the other side of the obstacle. He knows where He wants you to go. He knows what He wants you to be. But we have to get over this wall. And that's what I want to get through this evening as we look at our scripture. Hitting a wall is a fact of life. It's a fact of a Christian life. Difficulty and pressure is a fact of life. Getting to the point where things seem impossible to overcome is a reality of life. But just like the athletes, just like the entrepreneurs, just like successful Christians that we read about in the Bible, there's a way to get over that wall. So let's go to Zechariah chapter 4, and we'll read our scripture this evening. Zechariah chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse number 1 and read 9 verses. You can follow along with me. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, and a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, and a bowl upon the top of it, and 7 lamps thereon, and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps which are upon the top thereof, and 2 olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. And so I answered and spake to the angel that walked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Verse 5, Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Verse 6, Then he answered and spake unto me, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by my might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Where art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, cryings, Grace, grace unto you. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for just this opportunity to get up here and open your word and just learn about it, Lord. I pray that you would just give me your words this evening. Just help me to convey the message that you've put on my heart, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would just be with each person here and just bless them. Help them to understand. Help them to see the tools that they need to get over the wall in front of them, Lord. We thank you for all that you do and all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, just a little bit of context on what we're looking at here. Zechariah is a prophet. And he's a prophet at the time that Zerubbabel, which is the leader of Judah, was alive. And Zerubbabel was the individual that was tasked with rebuilding the temple the second time. And so we're coming here to a point where this man, who's the leader of Judah, has been tasked with rebuilding the temple. That's a wall, isn't it? That's something that's huge. That's something that if you came to me today and said, I want you to rebuild this temple, and Julie and I have had the opportunity to go to Jerusalem and to see the temple and see some of these bricks, and my mind just kind of can't comprehend people doing that without heavy machinery. But he was tasked with rebuilding this temple, and he's gotten to a point where Judah and really the Christians in that time, the Jews in that time, rather it be, were frustrated. And so they started to build this temple, but then the people around that area frustrated them and really kind of got them off course and said, and got them to say that it's really not that important. And so they withdrew from building that. And then Zechariah came back at the same time Haggai came back. They were both prophets. But Zechariah came back to encourage them to restore the Jews so that they would continue to build the temple and do the things that God wanted them to do. And so Zechariah came down, and this vision is one of his visions. There was, I believe, 9 visions that he had. This vision in chapter 4 talks about the candlesticks, and it talks about the olive trees, and we won't get into all of that this evening. But starting in verse 6, you can see where there's a little bit of encouragement that he's offering to Zerubbabel, an instruction that he's telling him, this is how you get past this obstacle. And that's what we're going to look at this evening. Let's read verse 6 through 9 again. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by my might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of his house, his hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. We're going to go through a prescription that God gives us in this scripture this evening of how to get over the wall in front of you. And I don't know what wall is in front of you. I don't know what we're dealing with today. I know the things that are before me. I know the obstacles that are before me that seem huge. And I know if I have some in my life, you have some in your life. And it may not be the same, yours and mine. But I can guarantee that there's something in all of our lives where we're looking at it, and whether it's in our daily walk with God, or whether it's in our jobs or our marriages or raising our kids or our businesses, whatever it is, there's something before us. And this is God's prescription to get through it. And the first thing that we need to understand is we can't make it over on our own. You know this wall? I like this wall. It's tall. There's no way I'd be able to get over this. If it was just me, I can't climb my way over. I can't jump my way over. And this isn't really that big a wall. But what we need to understand is whatever we're facing in life, we can't do it on our own. Let's go to verse number 6. This is where we get this point. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, and what were these words? Not by might, nor by power. Not by might, nor by power. The first thing we need to get this evening is that when we're faced with a wall, we cannot make it over on our own. Not by might, not by power. The wall is too big, the wall is too high, and we're too weak in our own strength to make it over it. And you say, you know what, Brother Ryan, that's not me. I got this under control. I've been a Christian now for a lot of years, and I have this thing under control, and there's nothing that shakes my faith. And you know what? I go out into work every day, and I just cut down Satan, and I'm set to go. Well, you know what? There's going to be something that comes into your life that's going to shake you. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter how much you've grown in faith and in your Christian life. There's going to be something for each of you that shakes you. And I know from personal experience, and I know being saved, you know those things that shook me the first few years? Now I can look back at them and say, that was silly. God took care of it. I've grown in faith. I can trust Him for that. But I guarantee you, you know what? Tomorrow I could wake up and there could be something in my life that I didn't consider. You know, when you get the people that say you have cancer or you have the loss of a loved one or you lose your job or you do these things, and we say from a human perspective, that's huge. There's your wall. And the question you have is, am I going to, in my own spirit, am I in my own strength, going to try to make it through this? Or am I going to understand from Scripture that we can't make it over on our own? You know, the Bible clearly shows us that there are things that we cannot accomplish on our own. There's another portion of Scripture I'd like you to turn to with me this evening. It's Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3 there. And again, this is just to reemphasize the point that there's some things that I can't do. And I'm not going to wave the white flag and say, you know what, God, I'm not going to do anything. But I do know that God's going to put some things before me where I'm going to have to rely on Him. I can't do it by myself. So Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1, says this: "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself." And then this is the last part: "Lest he be wearied and faint in your minds." Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Why is that put in there? Because we can't do it on our own. Because we grow tired. Because you know what? After we face so many walls, after we face so many obstacles, after we get to the top of that peak and all we want to do is push that snowball over so it can grow, we get to a point in our minds that we're tired. And we say, you know what, God? I need you. And that's the first point here that we need to get to. God has told us throughout the Bible that we're weak, that we are going to grow weary, that we're going to faint. And if we try to accomplish things on our own, we're not going to succeed. And I don't know about you, but I've tried to accomplish things on my own. I've tried to build this, or I've tried to do this, or I've tried to grow this on my own. In my strength, in my knowledge, in my understanding, in my expertise, with my connections. And I can tell you from experience, it doesn't work. So we need to understand that we can't make it over on our own. That's part of the reason the wall looks so scary in the first place. When you come to a point and you see something that's 10 or 20 or 30 feet tall and you say, how am I going to get through this? Where's the money going to come from? They haven't found a cure for this illness. How am I going to deal with the loss of a loved one? How am I going to deal with the loss of a job? That's why it's scary, because we're still in our own mind saying, how am I going to have to fix this? And the answer is, we can't fix it. There's going to be a place in every one of our lives where we get to such a wall that we're not going to be able to overcome it on our own. So the first thing that we need to understand if we plan to overcome a wall is to come to the conclusion that we can't do it on our own. Verse 6 again, not by might nor by power. And this is talking about your might and your power and my might and my power. It's not going to happen, Zerubbabel. You're not going to build this temple. You're not going to finish the wall if you try to do it on your own. It's not going to happen for us. But God goes on in that verse, the rest of the verse, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The second thing we need to understand is we need to rely on God for assistance. And we kind of touched on that in this last point. If it's not going to be me that gets me over this wall, who's going to get me over this wall? God. Because you know what? I like all of you, and I'm friends with all of you, and I can count on you. I know if I have a problem, I can pick up the phone and call you, but there's going to be some walls in my life that Brother Frank's not going to be able to help me through. There's going to be some walls in my life that I'm not going to be able to ask Pastor to help me with. I have to go to God. We have to rely on God. And that's why he stuck that in verse 6. But by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We can't rely on ourselves to overcome it, but we should rely on the Spirit, on the Lord. And isn't it amazing how focusing on the Lord can put things in perspective? I mean, really. Man, this wall is big. But I'm not really looking at the wall anymore. I'm going to focus on God. And how big is God? You know, when we have our focus in the right place, that obstacle doesn't look so big anymore. When I start to focus on God, and I remember He's all-powerful, and I remember He's all-knowing, and I remember He's in every place, and I remember He can do everything, and I remember when He says, nothing is impossible for me. You know what? That wall doesn't seem like such a big deal. But I have to focus on Him. And many of us, as we go through our Christian life and something comes before us, we'll call our discipleship teacher, we'll call our pastor, we'll call our mom, we'll call our friends, we'll call anybody else in the world, but we won't get down on our knees and ask God to help us until we get to the point that we find nobody else can help. And that's not what He wants us to do. He says, you know, you see that wall in front of you? It's not going to be overcome by your power. It's not going to be overcome by your might. It's going to be overcome by my Spirit. So why don't we do the first thing? Ask Him for help. Rely on God for assistance. And isn't it amazing how focusing on the Lord really does put things in perspective? Back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. We looked at the end of it, but this is what it says in Hebrews. For consider Him. Who is the Him? God. For consider Him, lest ye be wearied. God says, I know you're going to get tired if you try to do it on your own, but I've given you a solution. Think about Me. Consider what I did on the cross. Consider My power. Consider how I rose myself from the grave. Consider all the things that I've been able to accomplish before you look at your obstacle. And you know what? I guarantee if you do those things, that obstacle's not going to matter. Because I can get you through. Consider Him, lest you be wearied. God's expecting us to focus on Him, how big He is, how powerful He is, what He can overcome, what He can do. Psalm 18:32, you don't need to turn there, but it says, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. God. And I know you're here this evening, and I know that's because you know God and you understand God, but I want to tell you that you're going to get to a place where you're going to question Him. And I just want to, I guess, share with you this evening that when you get to that place, instead of questioning God, claim what He's done. It's not going to make any difference if you question God, because then you're still going to try to do it in your strength. But you know what? If you look at the cross and you look at what He did and you look at what He accomplished, your mind gets trapped in this. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God can do the impossible. God, do the impossible for me. We need to rely on God for that. And God knows the size of the wall before us. You know, that's something I think we forget too. He knows the hairs on my head. He certainly knows the wall that's before me. He knows the crisis that I'm having. He knows the heartache that I'm having. He knows the struggles that I'm having. And guess what? Some of us might be smart enough to understand this evening. He put the walls there. Some of those walls are to grow you. Some of those walls are so you can build your faith in Him. And I'm not saying every wall that you come across is from Him, but I do tell you this evening that every wall that you come before, God can help you over. We just need to rely on Him. Grow in faith, grow stronger. We need to understand that regardless of the obstacle that's before us, we can rely on God to overcome it. Just turn it over to Him. And this is kind of a caveat there, but don't ask Him to approve your solution. Well, God, I see that 20-foot wall. If I just got a ladder here, I'd make it over. What do you think about that, God? No, that's not the way it works. Because you know what? Then you're still relying on you. What you can do, what you can accomplish, what you can plan. When you get to an obstacle, rather than trying to make something up and then pray to God to bless it, you know what? What we need to do is go to God and say, get me over this obstacle. And whether it's a ladder or whether it's a hole in the wall or whether it's a rope, whatever it is, God, that you give me, you get me over the wall. I'm not going to ask you to approve my method. I want your solution. And when we do that, we get to what happens here in verse 7. We need to expect the miraculous. After we've altered our view, after we've turned our focus from ourselves to our Lord, we need to believe in Him and expect the unexpected. Zechariah 4:7 is one of the verses that if you read over it quickly, you don't really think about it too much. But if you look at it, it's really amazing. Zechariah 4:7, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. What does this mean? This mountain, God just made a plain. I can't do that. That wall before me that looks 20, 30, 40 feet, you know what? God can knock it down. This issue that I'm having, God can take it away. That incurable disease that I have, God can cure me. This mountain became a plain. Expect the miraculous. When we focus on the Lord and we rely on His provision, we just might find out that the wall before us, the obstacle we've been struggling with, isn't quite what it seemed. You know, maybe the devil put up some blinders so we couldn't see clearly what's before us. Or maybe God did something amazing. Maybe He did something miraculous. And He changed what was before me, whatever situation that was, into something that I could overcome. And I think we read through these verses and we say, you know, this is an old guy and he was building a temple and these were some things God said to him, but it doesn't really have anything to do with me. And what I'm trying to help you understand this evening is these same promises that God made to Zerubbabel here when he was making the temple are the same promises that he makes to you and I. You have a mountain before you, you have an obstacle before you, you have a wall before you. God says, I can flatten it, but you have to rely on me. You know, where we used to see a mountain, there's a plain that's easily to cross. Where we used to see an impossible situation, we see possibility. Where we used to see a canyon or a chasm, we see a bridge. It doesn't matter what you say is before you. God can make a way for you to get to the other side. But we have to rely on Him. And what I want us to understand is the reason we need to focus less on ourselves, the reason we need to focus more on God, is because He is God, which can overcome the impossible and has the ability to change our reality. And as Christians, that's kind of out there for some of us. You know, I go to church, I pray, I do these things, I understand that, but reality's reality, right? I go out, I go to work, I earn money, that's how I pay my bills. I go to the doctor, they keep me healthy. That's reality. Do we really stop and think in our Christian life that God can alter reality? Because that's what this verse says. The obstacle before you, I can change. The reality that's in your life, no matter how dim it seems, I can change. That's what God is saying to us. But we have to believe it. We have to rely on Him. There's a couple of verses that kind of go hand in hand with this, Him changing our reality. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. You know what? When I have a God that says nothing's impossible for me, it's not out of the realm of possibility in my human thinking to think that He can change my reality. Now, I'm not saying He always has to do that, but I'm saying those people that have been healed of incurable diseases, those people that have had bank accounts that have been filled with money where they don't know the source, the people that have had miracles happen in their life are sure going to testify that God can change reality, because He does. But we need to get a point in our walk where we claim that, God, this mountain, You've made it a plain. You've changed my reality. You've changed this obstacle to help me overcome it. We need to rely on God, and when we're facing the wall before us, we need to expect Him to do something extraordinary. And I want to ask you today, really, in your heart of hearts, if you do this. When you come up to something, and you have the choices to make, and it seems difficult, and maybe you don't know where to go, and you've run out of options, do you ask God to change the reality in front of you? Because He promises that He will. That's us growing in faith. That's me saying, you know what, God, I'm going to believe that You're going to do it. I don't know how You're going to turn this mountain into something I can get over. But I believe You can do it because You've said in Your Word, this mountain, You can make a plain. And there's other places in Scripture where He's done similar things, but I want you to understand, He can change reality for you. But you have to stop trying to fix the problem yourself, and you have to rely on Him. You know, one, and you couldn't go through a sermon on walls without mentioning, I think, the most famous ones, the walls of Jericho. And I won't spend too much time on it because that's where everybody expects you to go when you're talking about walls in front of you. But I highlight it for this reason. I'm sure when Joshua was standing before those walls, he felt pretty inadequate. I mean, I can't imagine how big they are, but they're stone and they're wide and they have people on them. And there's people inside and they're armed. And God says, I'm going to take this city. I'd feel pretty inadequate. I'd feel like I'm at a place where, God, you know what? I can make up 100 solutions here and they're not going to work. Change my reality. And we know from the story in Jericho, God did it. We know from the story that even though he felt inadequate, he felt overcome, God did the miraculous, and the walls that he needed to be overcome fell before his feet. And that's what God can do for you and I as well. But we need to understand that God can do anything, and we need to really rely on Him to do what He promised. And then, once we stop saying, you know what, I can do it, God, and we start saying, please, I want you to do it, God, and we start expecting God to do the miraculous, what does our verse say there? Let's start in verse 7 there. Who art thou, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. All right, you're going to do the miraculous. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. And moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And so up to this point, we've been following the Lord and doing what He commanded. We've been stopped focusing on ourselves and our strengths and our abilities. We've humbly asked God for our help. We've stopped trying to push through and make it on our own. We've surrendered to the will of God and the Lord as the source for our power. We've expected the miraculous. We've looked to Him as our guide, our leader, our teacher. And in anticipation and in faith, we've expected Him to do the miraculous and help us overcome the obstacle. And now that He's done His part and He flattened what seemed like a mountain into a plain, what does He ask us to do? Finish it. Whatever wall is in front of you, whatever it was, when God has made a way for you to get over, when God has made a way for you to get through, when God has made a way for you to get to the other side, our verse says there, Zerubbabel hath laid the foundation. He started it, and there were some obstacles came up. He got frustrated. He got sidetracked. It took a lot of time, but he ultimately understood that I'm going to do some miraculous things here. I did some miraculous things. I helped him get over the obstacle, but what does it say there? He's laid the foundation. His hands. Whose hands? The person that started it. Yours. Mine. Whatever we start, after God does the miracle, He shall also finish it. He wants us to finish it. You need to take the step, next step, and courageously move forward. Because you know what? We can get to a point where we get to a wall for so long that when God flattens it, we can freeze. Well, God, I didn't expect that You'd actually heal me of this disease. What do I do now? Well, take the next step. God, I didn't expect You to get me over this obstacle. What do You want me to do now? Finish what You started. In your Christian walk, take the next step. And that's what we see Zerubbabel doing here. His hands had laid the foundation, the beginning. God did some miracles to get him over the obstacles. You know what He expects him to do now? Finish the temple. Finish His work. We need to take that next step. We need to embody what it says in Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In short, when God makes a way for us, we need to do our best to continue to move forward until we reach the finish line. I talked this morning in Sunday school, and we had a lot of people from here in Sunday school, since I had both classes this morning, that we don't do contests in soul winning. We don't try to achieve a goal in soul winning or those types of things, because what happens when we achieve that goal? Man, we've arrived. We did pretty good. We got 100 people here. That was our goal. We don't have to come soul winning tomorrow. Or we got 1,000 people here. Our church is full. We're done. No. God says, I want you to continue in your walk. I want you to continue to strive. I want you to continue to step day by day and do what I have called you to do. And when I take that obstacle down in front of you so you can overcome it, I want you to keep going. I want you to keep growing. I want you to keep working for me. That's what God wants us to do. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God says you started it. You laid the foundation. Now finish it. And I just want to tell us this evening, you know, it does no good, back to our sports analogy, it does no good for that marathon runner to get through that 20-mile wall and really press through and get to where he can see the finish line and get up to steps, the finish line, and then sit down right before the finish line. What's the point of that? Why even start the race? Why go through that agony? Why wait for the miracle? Why get through that wall if we're not going to finish the race? There's things God has for each of us in this church. There's things that He has for your life that He wants you to accomplish. There's things that He said, you know what, I want this church to accomplish. And what we need to do is get over that wall and take the next step. Finish what He's called us to do. It seems foolish as Christians if we pray and seek God for a miracle, we need to overcome the obstacle in our lives, in our walk, in our church, whatever it is. We pray for it, and we ask our church family to pray for it, and we read our Bible and seek God and turn it over to Him, and you know what? He finally does the miracle, and we move past this obstacle, and we quit. Well, that was nice, God. Thanks for getting me through that. The trial's over now, though. I'm good. That's not what God wants. That's not why He removed that obstacle. He removed that obstacle so you can continue to work for Him. And that's what we need to do. We need to continue to grow, to serve, and ultimately finish His work for our lives. I thought this passage of Scripture was pretty interesting. A huge task. An obviously frustrated man. And God gave him four verses and gave you and me four verses to say, this is how you get through it. And that's what I want you to understand. It's not pastor saying you can get through it. It's not me saying you can get through it. This is God saying, whatever's before you, I can get you through it so you can accomplish what I have. You know, in business, there's another common saying, if you're not growing, you're shrinking. If you're not growing, you're shrinking. And Dr. Sisk, he was the person that came and preached our missions conferences many, many times when I was at Crossroads. He was there, and then Dr. John Halsey, which is also from Baptist International Missions Incorporated. And I can't remember which one of them said it, which is why I mentioned both of them. But one of them said, you know what, if our missions commitment isn't growing, then I care less about missions, I care less about souls this year than I did last year. And the same's with our Christian life. The same's with a business. If you're not growing in your Christian life, you're shrinking. Because you know what? God gave you 24 hours between yesterday and today. And that's 24 hours that I can open my Bible. That's 24 hours that I can be encouraged by a Christian friend. That's 24 hours that I can pray. That's 24 hours that I can do any number of things to grow as a Christian. And if in the last 24 hours I haven't done any of those things, I'm shrinking. If you're not growing, you're shrinking. And that's where I think this is applicable beyond just our life. I think these scriptures can be applied to our lives as Christians, and I think they ought to be. I think they should be. I know for sure that I'm going to apply them to my life because there's some things before me that I'm scared of. There's some things before me that I want God to overcome because I don't see a way. But this happens in our church as well. And you can apply it to our church as well. Because you know what? A church can hit a wall as well. And nobody wants to talk about it. And some of us kind of discuss it amongst ourselves and try to plan a way through it. But really, the church, this body of believers that have been brought together, can hit a wall. And that wall can be any number of things. It can be a wall of comfort. Well, you know what? I'm tithing. I'm serving. I'm checking the boxes. I pray. I read. I do the bake sale, I do the teen car wash, I do these things. But do you have it in yourself to take another step? Because you know what, that's hard. And we may have gotten to that wall, and it's funny to think of a wall being something like comfort, but we may have gotten to that to where we say, you know what, if I do more, that's going to be hard. Or I'm comfortable right here, and I don't know what's on the other side of the wall. What if I do go soul winning? What am I going to find? What am I going to find at the other side of that door that I knock on? What's going to happen if I go pick somebody up? What if I invite somebody into my home so I can minister to them? And as a church, we can get to that wall of comfort where we don't want to move on. There's other things, you know, that can do the same thing. But as a church body, we can get to the point that we're frustrated and we don't think we're ever going to be able to do more or go further or go more or give more or reach more people in this city. And I don't want you to tell me this evening, but I want you to think in your heart of hearts, as you go home tonight or as you come to church on Sunday morning, do you come with the mindset of, let's do more for God today? Or do you come with the mindset, oh, man, church was kind of full today. All the regulars came. And thank God that the regulars came. But you know what? I want to come every day and try to reach somebody else. And I give my missions dollars so another pastor can go out and reach somebody else. And as a church, we need to get past these obstacles, whether they're laziness or frustration or comfort or whatever it is, to do more. And I know that's our pastor's heart. You know, I sit down with him and I sit down with Pastor Frank and I sit down with the leaders in our church and they strategize and they go through and they have meetings on how do I get this church to do more? How can we reach more people? How can we give more? How can we fill this bus? How can we build this conference? Their whole identity is wrapped up in doing more for God. And as a church, we need to get behind them. And we need to help them get through that obstacle. God said, I'll flatten it for you. But you know what? It takes you and me praying about it. Because those four men, while they lead this church, can't do it by themselves. Let's help them pray to God to take down those obstacles. Obstacles of finances. Obstacles of health, like this evening. Obstacles that are put before them. They want to get through those obstacles, but it takes all of us as a church to help them through that. And then when God says, you know what, I'll provide. I see your church stepping up. I see those people not concentrating on themselves anymore, but concentrating on our church as a whole. I see it, and I'm going to flatten that obstacle. Now you have a plane to run across. We need to, as a church, go with our pastoral staff and run across and do more for him. The prescription's the same, whether it's in your life or in this church. We need to focus less on ourselves, more on God, expect him to do the miraculous, and then just keep serving. Because you know what? There's not a goal. Pastor's goal isn't to have 200 people in this auditorium. Pastor's goal isn't to have 2,000 people in this auditorium. You know what pastor's goal is? To hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And that's something we have to work at every day. Every day. Because we're never going to reach the ultimate goal until we're called home. There's one verse that I'm going to finish with this evening, and I think it's a good summary of the thoughts today. 2 Timothy 4:7. You probably know this verse. 2 Timothy 4:7 says this: I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And that's where I want our church. That's where I want you as Christians to get to this evening. Get to the point that you can look up a giant, you can look up a wall in front of you, and you can say, it doesn't matter because God's going to take care of it. And when he takes care of it, I'm going to do more for him so I can get to that next giant and that next wall, and we can knock them down, and we can do more for God, and we can accomplish more for him, and we can bring glory to him. That's what he wants us to do. But we have to, in ourselves, say, I'm not going to do it on my own. I'm going to take self out of the picture. I'm going to rely on God. And I'm going to ask him to change the reality in front of me. And we see here, we go on, Zerubbabel did finish the temple. And like I said, Julie and I have been there. It's amazing. Even in the state that it is now, some 2,000 years later, I think he built it in like 540 or something, so less than 2,000, 1,500 years later. The state that it's in now is still magnificent. I can't imagine what he built then. And God wants us to build our temple. God wants us to accomplish our task for him. God wants us to fulfill our calling. We have to take ourselves out of the picture and ask him to change the reality before us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, as we stand to our feet and our piano comes to play, I just want to thank you for this opportunity that we've had. I want to thank you for putting this upon my heart, Lord. I want to thank you for illuminating the scripture to me so I could understand it, so I could share it this evening. As a church, as a person, I want to do more. I know our pastors want to do more. And I want you to be able to work through us.